Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. If you're married or want to be married, you hope to be married someday, see if you can relate with this. At some point you didn't expect, you begin to feel like the security of your marriage is in jeopardy. Well, let me get more specific. You've passed the honeymoon stage. Maybe your kids are growing. There are certain pressures that you didn't expect. It certainly wasn't something that you planned for. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel this subtle pressure. There's a tense feeling that you experience at the home, in your home, and insecurities begin to creep up, and your communication isn't the same, and all of a sudden you begin to feel like, hey, what's happening? This very precious relationship that I once so dearly treasured is in jeopardy. At that time, wouldn't you wish or hope that you had a chance to talk to somebody who is an expert, somebody who's maybe even not just an expert in a professional sense, yes, that, but also someone who has experienced some struggles themselves. They also have raised kids. They know what it's like to have different kinds of tensions and things like that. They can relate with you. Well, Max Lucado said, God created marriage. No government subcommittee envisioned it. No social organization developed it. Marriage was conceived and born in the mind of God. Our guest today is someone who has been sought after all across the world. He is an author. But the thing is, he's been in marriage for 20 years. He's raised kids. He's raising kids. He knows what it's like. You know, we paused at the beginning of the Good Life Hawaii Radio program to remind you the reason we have this show, the very heart of this show, its very essence is to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. If you're searching, looking, longing to find hope in God, you can find that by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus. And if you're walking with the Lord and you're struggling right now, our hope and our purpose is to help build you up, to encourage you. Well, Dr. Greg Smalley, he serves as the Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. In this role, he develops and oversees initiatives that prepare individuals for marriage, strengthen and nurture existing marriages, and help couples in their marital crises. He's worked for the Center for Relationship Enrichment at John Brown University and as president of the National Institute of Marriage. He's the author of 11 books, including The DNA of Relationships, The DNA of Parent and Teen Relationships, and The Wholehearted Marriage. He received his doctorate at Rosemead School of Psychology at Biola University and a counseling degree from Denver Seminary. He and his wife, Erin, they live in Colorado. They have three daughters, Taylor, Maddie, and Annie, and one son, Garrison. And I'm glad not only do I have Dr. Greg Smalley, I've got Garrison in studio with us today. Dr. Smalley, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Danny. Thank you so much for having me on today. I can't believe I'm in Hawaii. That's almost impossible.
Hey.
I don't even know what to say.
Well, you know, Hawaii is that special place. And what we find is when people come here, they relax. Mm-hmm. And when they relax, they're able to express themselves in special, unique ways and also be refreshed at the same time. So it's a win-win situation all around. And sometimes you get to bring your precious son
That's right.
with you.
That's right. I don't know, my kids get to take turns. If my wife can't come, then it's always one of my kids gets to travel with me. And so I think all my other kids were like, wait, that's not fair. It's Garrison's turn. He gets to go. So it was the luck of the draw. So here we are together and hanging out, father and son.
And old Garrison has to just smirk. Be quiet. Get on that plane.
Exactly. He's really here to keep me in line, tell me what to wear, tell me when time to eat. He takes good care of me.
You know, I'm looking at him, handsome young man. I like his Aloha shirt.
I know.
It's a cool shirt.
I don't have one yet. I have to go to the mall and find one.
Well, it looks like you're from Hawaii. And maybe it looks like I'm from Colorado.
I know.
I'm wearing like a sweater, you know.
This is summertime. Yeah, summertime. This is great. I'm in shorts and t-shirt, and we're having a great time. We get to do some snorkeling and all fishing, I think. So we're thrilled to be here. So thanks for having me on with you.
Yeah, I'm looking at Garrison. I'm thinking, what an opportunity to grow up with Dad, travel like he is. What an education, memories that'll last. Mm-hmm. A lifetime.
Which is what I got to do with my dad. That's what's so fun about it.
I want to talk about that. But, yeah. Talk to me about your growing up years.
Yeah.
What was it like? Where was it? What was it like?
Yeah. You know, we grew up different places. Started off kind of the first 8 years in Chicago, Illinois. And my dad was working for a big ministry there. And then moved our family to Waco, Texas. And I didn't know where Texas was at the time. And so he became a marriage and family pastor at a big church. And that's really where God kind of used that. He took over a small little college Bible study for Baylor University students and maybe 10 or 12 of them. And it quickly grew to about 600 to 800. And so these college students, just teaching them relationship skills. And they were just absolutely in love with him and what he was teaching, and God was just using him. Well, these students would all go back to their hometowns and tell their pastor, you got to bring this guy in. And that's really how my father got started doing seminars, was just these Baylor students that would bring him to their home churches. And, you know, growing up here, I had this famous father, Gary Smalley, and I didn't even know that. Literally, this is the truth. It wasn't until as an adult, all right? Because I remember when we were in Texas that we would it seemed like we'd go off camping on the weekends all the time. It just seems like we'd take Friday off and camp over the weekend, and he'd make it back in time for church on Sunday. But my brother, I have a younger brother, and we were talking about this, and I was like, yeah, remember we used to camp all the time? And we were talking about this, and my dad said, yeah. And do you remember how I was never with you guys? And we started thinking about going, yeah, actually, where were you? We thought he was off fishing because he loves to fish, but he loves to do that more solitary because, you know, we'd get our line tangled and whatever, you know, hooks through our finger. And he said, no, I wasn't fishing, you knuckleheads. He goes, I was doing marriage seminars. Literally, he would take our family to a campsite, drop us off, then he'd drive his big RV in to wherever and do the seminar and then come back and we'd hang out and then go home. And it literally was not until I was an adult that I knew that that's what he was doing. I don't know if that's good or bad or what, but I mean, so I loved growing up in our family. You know, we had problems like everybody else. It felt so normal. So I don't know what my parents did, but they protected us.
Did you feel pressure? Like, you know how they say a minister's kid,
yeah,
or a Christian leader's child will feel this enormous pressure. What was it like?
Yeah, you know, the honest truth was that it wasn't until I was probably starting in high school that really his books and videos and stuff took off. And so we eventually moved to Phoenix, and that's kind of where I consider home. I was there junior high and high school and then on even through college. But it really wasn't until we were in Phoenix that things began to take off for him. But I do remember we'd go places and we'd be sitting there for dinner or whatever, and someone would come up and, you know, ask him for an autograph, or, you know, hey, you saved my marriage. And it was just always weird. It was like, really? And it, to find out that people would pay a lot of money to come hear him talk, and my brother and like, man, we got to listen to him for free. You know, we have to hear him. And why would people go listen to him and pay money? And but he was, he's such a great dad. He really was. I think that for me, what I most appreciate about him is that who he was up on stage, who he is in the books and in the videos, that's really who he was at home. There wasn't like, you know, because I've heard other, you know, I've met over the years other famous speaker, Christian ministry families and the kids, and he really was genuine. You know, the things that he taught, he really tried to practice. He wasn't perfect and really made his living telling stories about how he messed up as a dad, as a husband. And but tell you what, when it's all said and done, he's a true man who loves God with all his heart, with all his being. I mean, some of my favorite memories would, I would get up in the morning and I'd come downstairs and my dad would maybe be on his knees, would be sitting there in his chair with the Bible, would just be just reading. And yeah, I did, again, I'm like, hey, can you go in the next room so I can watch cartoons? But you know, I mean, I get it now. And I love those. I love the fact that who he says he is publicly is really who he is privately. And he's been faithful to my mom, adores my mom. You know, they fight. I love to watch them argue to this day. You know, it's just like something about when, you know, they've married almost 47 years, you know, 50 books later, I'm like, cool. I'm just watching them going, all right, if you guys can still fight and you're all right, I'm okay. It makes me feel normal. But yeah, I just really appreciated who he tried to be always. And boy, I respect that. So that's how I hope my kids say that about me someday. So Garrison, listen up.
You know, what's really interesting is that, not interesting, it's touching. Touching in the sense that your dad's example with you will carry on. I mean, there's certain things that are not verbalized. They're just lived out.
Yeah.
And you've experienced it. Your brother and sister have experienced it.
That's right.
And it just lived out from generation to generation.
Yeah.
And to think that he, you know, set that example. Now, were your grandparents Christ followers too? Or?
No. And that's, you know, part of what, you know, my dad grew up in a really bitty town in Washington called Bingen. It's near the Columbia River. And you know, probably his mom was a Christian, but just hard times, not much money at all. Dad, very angry. I mean, that was sort of the legacy from generation to generation, was just anger. And what's amazing is my dad just was very consciously aware of that. And that was one thing that he wanted to break, is he goes, I don't want my kids to have a legacy of anger. And that's, that became a big motivation for all the things he does, because really my dad, I think of all the things he's known for, it's that idea of honor. You know, really, when you see someone, it's that you get that they are made in God's image. They're precious. They're a priceless treasure. You know, and that's really the anecdote to anger is honor. And so that's what I loved about really what he did, is really decided, hey, I want to break that. And I'm sure, you know, there's plenty of things that I need to, as a father, that I need to be breaking as well. But I'd so value and appreciate that about my dad.
You know, to think, here's a second generation of a legacy. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at the third generation right here at Garrison.
Who's much better looking than me. So. Easier on the eyes.
But at some point, your dad made a choice.
Yeah.
And he realized the responsibility
That's
he
right.
had. And with the conviction of the influence that he would have.
That's right.
A conscious awareness. And, you know, as you're listening today, you know, we've got Dr. Greg Smalley here. We're talking about his dad and his dad's influence, Dr. Gary Smalley's influence on his life, father and son relationship. But Dr. Gary Smalley made a choice. Mm-hmm. And it's working out right in front of us as we speak. The legacy continues to grow. And I'm wondering if there's a choice that you need to make as you listen to us talk. Did you know that the choice you make, it could be an opportunity for you as you respond to God, as you look at how things are and really look to make certain changes? And it doesn't have to be overwhelming. It could be just one change, one step. Just take that small little step. It could make a difference in the years and years to come. On, we're talking decades, maybe a century, maybe more. But it could start with you. And when I look at Dr. Greg Smalley, I wonder how at what point at a young age did he begin to develop this passion, this desire? And when we come back from our break, we'll talk about that. Doctor, I'd like for you to share with us about how did you, as a young person, discover certain gifts that you had, whether it be in counseling or teaching or speaking, and maybe even beyond that. It's because you grew up in Dr. Gary Smalley's house. How did you become a Christian? You know, I mean, at some point you had to make a decision on your own. Everyone has to do that at some point. I wonder if you can share that as well. I mean, there's so much that we can go over, so much that we can cover, and we'll do it. We'll cover a lot of it today. Try to get as much as we can in this really precious time with you and with Garrison. I'm including you all the way, my young friend, because this is a divine moment. It's also a divine moment as you listen to the Good Life Warrior Radio Show, a personal word from the Lord to your heart. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Ever felt like you were so desirous of finding a treasure? You know, you're searching for it, you're looking for it, at times you feel like you're not getting as far as you want to go, but then you keep trying and trying, and finally you find what you're looking for, and there's a real naturalness to it. It's easy, and yet you see a lot of good things coming out of it. Well, you know, it's a gift. It's a gift that you found. It's a gift. It's a God-given gift, a God-given talent that you found within yourself, something that God has graced you with to use for his purpose. You know, God is a God of destiny. He's a God of purpose. And you're here for a reason. You're here because God has a special plan and purpose for you and your life. And whatever you're going through right now, there's a reason for it. We might not understand all the intricate details of it. We might not understand any of it. It might infuriate us sometimes because we don't. But just rest assured, God has a reason for it. And he's building you up through this. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my featured guest today, Dr. Greg Smalley of Focus on the Family. He's the Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation. He is the author of numerous books. He's a psychologist. He graduated from Rosemead School of Psychology at Biola University there in La Mirada, California, and Denver Seminary. He's here with his dear son. He's here with his dear son, Garrison. And it's a special time. You know, he is sharing with us about what it was like growing up in a family where his dad, Dr. Gary Smalley, author of over 40 books, spoken all over the world for decades, highly regarded, highly respected. But at some point, Dr. Greg Smalley had to find out what Jesus meant to him. Doctor, tell us, what was that like? Yeah. How did you become a Christian?
Yeah, you know, I was five, came home from kindergarten and just said, "All right, Mom, how do I get to heaven?" And so we prayed right there together. And so grew up in a great Christian family, but I would say that really my faith was developed probably when I was in my 20s, early 20s. And I think looking back, my dad had such a strong spiritual presence. I mean, I was always, you know, seeing him pray, read the Bible, talk about the scripture, talk about memorizing verses, and I think the problem for me was that I really allowed him to kind of be the spiritual relationship in my life. I didn't really I loved God, but I just didn't really have that personal relationship in which my very being depended upon him. I think it was probably more that I was too overly connected with my dad. In you know, I mean, faith is not, you know, there's no second generation Christian. It's mm-hmm. We're all, you know, you don't inherit someone's faith, and that was my problem. I think more than anything, I was inheriting what my dad's faith and his beliefs, and I think in college, that's really where God really got me. I mean, I went through some really tough times, and as I sort of headed off on my own. And yet that's really where I began to just fall in love with the Lord and develop that personal relationship.
How did that happen?
Yeah. You know, I went through a really just some, I wasn't like the rebellious type, and I didn't go out and drink and do drugs and do any of that, but I just really just, you know, I got tired of going to church. You know, I was off on my own in college and just the further I sort of walked away from the Lord, just the more I think my heart began to close until, you know, I was just getting into some kind of rebellious kinds of activities and I fell into a real sort of dark depression. And it was like for the first time in my life, I couldn't think my way out of, you know, mm-hmm. feeling better. And I think that's really where I began to understand that God wanted didn't want my brain, because I think my faith was more intellectual, and I knew I went to vacation Bible school and I went to Sunday school class, and you know, I knew verses, but he wanted my heart, and my heart was at that point probably closed, more or less, just going through some hard times, and you know, things didn't work out. I wanted to be a lawyer. It wasn't that I didn't want to follow in my dad's footsteps. I just had other passions, and I didn't get in to the law school that I wanted to, in really any law school. And it was very devastating for me, and it was very confusing. And
that was your plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew what I wanted to do, and that's really, so I kind of went through a season where I was like, you know what, it says in the Bible that, you know, when we pray that God will give us what we pray for, and pray and ask and you shall receive. And remember the little old widow lady, you know, stand in line every day. Well, I felt that I did all that. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of, I just reached a point to where, you know, I began to question, and not God, you know, I always believed in God, but sort of this notion of prayer, like, you know what, yeah, they talk about it, and, you know, and it works. I mean, I see that it works. It's worked for me. I've seen it work for others, but, you know, it doesn't. It, to me, it felt like this spiritual slot machine where you put your little prayer quarter in and, you know, and then you may get it, mm-hmm. you may not. And I think I felt a little disillusioned. There was a close friend of ours that had developed pancreatic cancer, and just never had seen anybody prayed over as much in my entire life for about 16 months. And so I thought it was so cool, because here you're going to see this grand miracle. You know, it, God can't help but to, you know, heal her. I mean, if you're saying all those verses are true,
right,
you know, it's going to happen.
Right.
And then, you know, we get the phone call that this very dear friend of ours passed away. It was just very confusing. Mm-hmm. I just didn't. And so I think a part of it was that I didn't really have my own solid faith. I'd more inherited something. I'm seeing that prayer really, I don't think it really works, you know? And so I felt very disillusioned. Mm-hmm. And then I'll never forget, this was probably a couple of years. I kept this very private. I don't think anybody really knew, you know. I kind of felt ashamed, you know. I as a Christian, I should believe that God, you know, says what he's going to do, and prayer works, and I'll never forget, I was running some stairs. There was at the university I was at, there was some big concrete steps, like 100 of them or whatever. So I was just running up and down. It was great exercise. You know, I'll never forget, I just at some point just kind of sat down, and I was just thinking about God and my relationship with him, and just kind of like, you know what? I think I reached a breaking point to where I just started weeping. It was just one of those weird, like, what is going on with me? And I think really what I decided that day is, I said, you know what, God, to be honest, I don't get how all this works. I mean, it's very confusing why she died and a couple other things didn't happen for me, why I didn't get into law school. But I said, you know what? I don't want to live my life this way. I don't want to live a life being closed to you. I believe in you. I trust you. You know, I don't have all the answers. You know, maybe one day in heaven, pencil me in for 15 minutes and let's talk. You know, tell me what was that about? Help mm-hmm. me to understand. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I remember just making a choice, kind of like you were talking about earlier. I just said, you know what? I believe in who you are. And man, I want my heart back open to you. And one of my very favorite verses now is out of Joel. So it's a good day when you can, you know, when you're, that's old school. That's Old Testament. When you pull out a good verse from Joel, but it's in the second chapter. It's really interesting. Right. The title says, rend your heart. And I remember seeing that going, rend your heart. What does that mean? The verse goes on to say, God is basically speaking to the Israelites. Don't rend your garments. You know, when the Israelites, remember when they were grieving, there's tough, they used to tear their mm-hmm. clothes apart, mm-hmm. kind of like, this is ripping me apart, kind of right. that idea. But he says, don't tear your clothes apart. Don't rend your garments. Rend your heart. And I just thought, really interesting. And basically is what he's saying, because he goes on in that verse to say, because basically I'm a safe God. I am abounding in love. You know, I do not want harm for you. I mean, he kind of goes on to list four or five attributes, kind of characteristics. Basically is what he's saying. You can open your heart to me. And by the way, that I'm safe, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I think that day sitting on the steps, I decided that today I'm going to rend open my heart back to God, because he is safe. You know what, I then saw a verse that said that I can remember the verse. I'm one of those guys, though. Don't ask me where it's from. I'm like, I don't know. It's from
we kind of know where it is in our Bible, right? It's on the right side page, on the right column.
Yeah. But I think this one's in Romans, but basically it says when you pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, and he intercedes with groans and moans that words cannot express, because we don't know what we should pray for, but he does. And I started to realize, you know, when I pray, well, here's what's cool, is that in Matthew it says that God knows what we need before we ask. And what I now believe about prayer is that, one, 100% we will get what we need, not necessarily what we ask for. And that was the big difference for me, is that when we pray, the Holy Spirit is kind of like saying, hey, God, you know what? Although Smalley is asking for this, just ignore him. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he needs. Here's what he needs. Mm-hmm. And that's now the confidence that I 100% with all my heart believe that even when I'm asking for things, man, we got this Holy Spirit who's interceding, saying, no, this is really what it is. And that we will always get. We may not see it. We might not notice it. We might not understand it for years to come. But prayer does work. Mm-hmm. No one needs me to tell him that. God doesn't need me to agree with that for that to be true. But boy, I'm so grateful that I had those couple years of just being sort of like disillusioned, because now that's my faith. That's not my father's faith.
Yeah.
And I think we all need those moments, you know, when we grow up in Christian families, or that's maybe right. We go through seasons to where we're just confused and on hard times, or a loved one dies, or whatever it is, that's the pearl that God talks about, that in every trial he's going to give us something. And so for me, those 2 years, the pearl was, man, I have a very different love and faith and trust and understanding of our Father. And I love that when traded for the world.
You know, you talk about he's safe.
Yeah.
You know, he's safe when you're there on those steps weeping.
Yeah.
You don't know why or what, and God does not flip out.
No,
because you don't know.
Yeah.
And you don't have either the wherewithal, or you don't have it within yourself to have the faith that you think you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
In fact, it's completely the opposite. And he embraces you, and he embraces me, he embraces us.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah,
at that place in our life.
And I think what you're saying, and here's the key, because at some point in the program, I'd love to talk, we'll talk about relationships, but that notion of safety is really absolutely one of the biggest keys to having a great marriage, is this idea of safety. And it's what God models. There is verse after verse that talks about how he's safe. My son Garrison, his life verse is Proverbs 18:10 that says, the Lord your God is a strong tower, the righteous run to it and are safe. King David, you know, keep me safe, O Lord, for in you I take refuge. There's something about that idea that God is the safest relationship we could ever possibly have. He is always safe. We don't ever have to worry about if he's in a bad mood in heaven. We don't have to worry if there's something else going on. The fact that he's safe is significant, because when we feel safe with someone, our heart opens up to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So when the fact that God is safe, see, our heart will open up and we connect. I mean, that's really the foundation of true intimacy.
Let's talk about that. When we come back from our break, let's go right into that. And about relationships, about marriage, about even parents and children and teens. And let's talk about those things. When we come back from our break, Dr. Greg Smalley, safe. Did you know that you can feel safe with God? Did you know that it's not just a feeling that you sort of conjure up? It's for real. You can really feel safe with God. And it'll revolutionize your relationship with God, this understanding. It'll deeply impact the relationship you have with your spouse and your children. And it'll have a tremendous influence in whatever you're going through right now in a strained relationship. Sometimes it's so tenuous, you don't know if you're going to make it. You might feel like that right now. Well, God is so timely. He sends Dr. Greg Smalley at such a time as this, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I lead you on.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling,
you're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So I asked the question, if you had one hour, Dr. Greg Smalley, if you had 1 hour to spend with a couple, what would you talk about? Well, we don't have an hour. I mean, we've been talking about all kinds of other important stuff. But we do have, the remainder of our show. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. As you hear our program, you might be thinking to yourself, hey, how can I get the rest of the show? I heard the tail end of that other part. I'm tuning in right now. Can I hear the whole show? Absolutely, yes. You can get a free download at thegoodlifehawaii.org. And better than that, go ahead and pass it on to a friend or family member you think that will benefit from actually listening to Dr. Greg Smalley share from his heart. He's from Focus on the Family. He's their executive director of marriage and family formation. To find out more about his ministry and the ministry of Focus on the Family, go to www.focusonthefamily.com/marriage. Doctor, we've got some time. If you got some time.
Yeah, absolutely.
What shall we talk about? If you were to talk to a family, married couple, what would it be about?
Yeah, really, if I only had a short amount of time, I would only talk about one thing the entire time, because really, I think this is the foundation of having a great marriage. Any relationship, if this one thing is not happening, it's great relationships are impossible. And here's kind of, let me illustrate, tell you a quick story about my oldest daughter, who's now about to go to college. Good grief, it's hard to imagine that. But when she was going into the kindergarten, her very first day, okay, she came home off the bus, and I was standing there to greet her. She gets off the bus holding hands with a boy. So I just thought, well, that's kind of weird.
The first day of school,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Why are you touching my daughter? I'm thinking to this boy. But she came up and announced that this was Hank. They were in love, and they were going to get married. And so I'm thinking, this is hilarious. And so, I I said, well, you know, I looked at him and I said, well, you know, in that you're five and everything, I said, you're going to, you know, you're going to be able to take good care of my daughter? And he goes, yeah. And I said, but, you know, you're going to need some stuff, though, I imagine, as you guys move off and wherever you're going to live. And I said, what kind of stuff do you think you need to be able to take good care of my daughter? So I'm just playing around with him. And they literally turned around and huddle, and they talked about this. And he turned around and he said, well, he goes, we talked about it. And this is a five-year-old little boy. He goes, we talked about it and we decided we need three things. He goes, we need the TV and the remote. We need a box of Lucky Charms and a roll of toilet paper.
Sounds good to me.
And so, and as a guy, yeah, actually that made sense. You know, I'm thinking I could live weeks off of those things alone. And, you know, so I played, high-fived him. And over the next 3 weeks, you know, this kid was lived in our neighborhood. They were always together. Taylor was in love with this boy. And it's weird. I mean, for five. Mm-hmm. And until one day found her crying and just sobbing. Honey, are you all right? Did you get in trouble? And no. Well, tell me what's going on. She said, well, Dad, you'll never guess, but Hank broke up with me today. And, you know, I wanted to sing hallelujah, praise Jesus. You know, prayer does work, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm trained, so, you know, I can't do that. So
professional.
Exactly. And so, honey, I'm so sorry. I said, well, you know, what happened? Well, you know, Hank said Becky's better looking than me. And, oh, boy. And she said, Daddy, I'm so mad at him. She goes, and I hate him. And she goes, and I want him to die. So I was a little weirded out thinking, man, I hope I don't make her mad. You know, she'll, who knows what she'll do to me. But actually what happened to Taylor that in that moment, see, because here early in the morning, she's in love with old Hank. You know, they're getting married and everything's great. But here now, just hours later, she's mad at the kid and wants him dead. Mm-hmm. But what happened to her is the exact same thing that I've seen with every single couple, married couple, who've ever been in crisis. Same exact thing. Here's the difference, all right? Here, what happened to Taylor is the moment that she got a little heartbroken, she was disappointed, frustrated, conflict setting, whatever you call it. What do you think happened to her little heart? Before, in that morning when everything was going great, it was wide open to Hank. Because, see, that's what God created us to love. He created us with hearts that are to be open. The default setting of our heart is openness. But when we get hurt, when we get frustrated, when we get disappointed, what happens to our heart? You know, it's like, I don't know if they have them on the island, but you guys have those little roly-poly bugs here. You know, they you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. They're called pill bug, sow bug, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you flick those things, or when they feel threatened, what do? They close up in this little ball, curl up in a little ball. Mm-hmm. That's what our heart does.
We call them potato bugs.
Potato bugs, there you go. But, I mean, that's God designed us when we're, when we get hurt, we go to protect our heart. We just curl up, our heart closes down. And Jesus went on to say, why did Moses permit you to divorce? Was it not because your hearts became what? Became hardened. And that's the kiss of death to a marriage. And what happens, see, is when conflict sets in and when we start to frustrate each other or disappoint each other, or, you know, we're not connecting, we're feeling like roommates. See, people, what happens is that their hearts begin to close. And if over time, if they don't learn how to open their heart, that a closed heart will eventually harden. And we've watched that over and over and over. And that truly is what kills off relationships, especially a marriage. And that's why when I work with people, I say the key, if you want to have a great marriage, it happens because both of your hearts are wide open to each other. You know, Jesus said it says in 1 Peter 1:22, love each other deeply from the heart. You know, King Solomon said above all else. So here's the wisest man that ever lived. Above anything else, above all else, what? Guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. In other words, God designed the system for his love to flow out from our hearts. And when we get hurt and when we get frustrated, we simply shut down. His love isn't able to flow out from our hearts anymore. I mean, he'll keep loving. That's the good news. But just not through us. And so, you know, when couples will say, well, I just don't love him anymore. I'm just kind of fallen out of love. Would you help us rebuild the love? I always tell people, wrong. That is not what's happened. Don't ever buy that for a moment. When someone says, well, I just don't love him anymore, what all they're saying is that my heart is hardened. And that's our choice. We control the state of our heart, whether or not it's opened or closed. With good reason, we'll shut it down. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, let's call it what it is. Yeah. It's a heart issue, not a love issue.
So, doctor, somebody listening right now, they're saying, well, he's talking about me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say it to anybody, but I know I'm you listening. Know. That's me. That's my heart. My heart is hard. It, you know, I didn't really know it. No one's ever said it to me that way. But hey, look, that's me. And it's, you know what? My heart is not just hard. It's harder than hard.
Yeah.
It's gone
fossilized.
On for so long. What do I do from here? Is there any hope to create any kind of blood flow again in a fossilized heart that seems to be... So I'm just... It's like I'm dead in this relationship, but I just... I'm still in it, but, you know, whether we're here or
feels
not...
Feels over.
It's over.
Feels
yeah,
hopeless,
yeah,
helpless.
Exactly. So what should I do?
Yeah. Well, I instantly take that person right back to Joel chapter 2 to understand that, again, the first step is that it has to be a choice to rend open, wide open my heart back to God. I'm not saying open back up to whoever you're mad at, in whether that's a spouse or whoever, but to God. Because, see, the problem is when our hearts shut down, it becomes dark. I mean, think about getting that little bug. I mean, you can only see as far as the shell that's now covering you. It's dark. You lack understanding. You lack wisdom. You lack perspective. Mm-hmm. We become very dangerous in relationship when we exist with just our brain functioning.
Yes.
God gave us both a heart and a mind. And when your heart shuts down, you become heartless in some sense. And especially when our heart hardens, then we cut God off as well. And so now you're on your own. You know, there's a verse that says, don't let the sun go down in your anger because you don't want to give the devil a foothold. See, when anger is a sign of a closed or potentially even a hardened heart, and the reason why we were told not to do that was because that see, when we're on our own, that's when we're vulnerable for Satan to come after us.
Now, you said when you're at that point, you close yourself off to God, too.
Absolutely. You can't, you could not convince me. I mean, people have tried. When your heart is hardened, think about when you're shut down, you know, maybe you've had a fight on the way to church, you know, there's something, I don't want to sing, I don't want to pray,
sure.
You know, I mean, but I tell you, when the heart hardens, there you can't convince me that, oh, they've got this great, wonderful, open-hearted relationship with God, but they're hardened towards their spouse. It just doesn't work that
way. They go hand in hand.
No, and I think that's a part of what you're wanting to realize, is that when I'm hardened, I'm probably operating on my own. You know, because see, the sad part is we can talk ourselves into anything. We can rationalize anything. We can begin to convince ourselves that, yeah, this marriage isn't worth it. He's never going to change. It's always going to be this way. God wants me to be happy. I shouldn't be existing this way. That's all the evil one's lies. He wants you and me and all of us shut down. He wants us operating on our own resources because we're dangerous.
Well, this is really intense. This is hot. I mean, hot in a place where we definitely need to be, because people are at points of tension in their own life and their own relationships right now. We got to take it from here, doctor, about somebody that's saying, hey, you know what? I'm right there. In fact, not only am I right there, you have no idea. You have no idea what I've gone through. And someone might even be at a point where it becomes almost fatalistic. I don't care anymore.
Apathy.
Can we bring that back? Is there hope for this person? Is there hope for that relationship? Doctor, I sense that as we're talking, I'm looking at you. There is. When we come back, Dr. Greg Smalley will address this even further. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you on.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Okay, so your heart is hard. In fact, it's harder than hard. It's we say it's fossilized. I mean, You're far beyond in your relationship. You're at a point where you don't care. You know, it's like I'm indifferent. Dr. Smalley said apathetic. Well, where do you go from there? Is there hope? You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm here with Dr. Greg Smalley of Focus on the Family to find out more about him and his ministry, the ministry of Focus on the Family, and him and his ministry with his dear wife Erin. And their traveling, speaking ministry, the books they've written, go to focusonthefamily.com/marriage. Doctor, take us from there. Things are at the point of the breaking point, really, in a relationship. Where do we go from there?
Yeah, it's critical you don't think about the marriage first. And that's kind of weird because I'm the marriage guy. But I'm telling you, that can't be your focus, because whatever's gone on in there that has made you feel so unsafe, that your heart is shut down and it's beginning to harden, your heart can't be talked in to opening there first. And that's why the first place that you've got to go is to rend your heart open, let God back in. Because I always tell people, don't ever make a decision about any relationship, especially a marriage, what you're going to do when your heart's closed and hardened, because it's dangerous. We just don't want to do that. Just don't do that. And so we got to let God back in, let him perform the miracle. You know, I always say that Jesus came to die for people, not for marriages. In order to have a great marriage, it's going to be because you have two people with open hearts. So go there first. Make this about you and the Lord. Go to your Father in heaven who's safe, who wants a relationship with you, who wants your heart back open. Allow him. I mean, so there's so many verses that talks about his desire. I've come so that you may have life and have it what? Abundantly. He wants your heart full of his love, abundantly full of his love. Do that first. And then later on, let's work on the relationship, because, you know, the cool part is that, like that little roly-poly bug that closes down when it feels threatened, whatever's gone on that's made you feel threatened in your marriage, what happens is that when we feel safe, our hearts open, and then intimacy is just something that naturally happens. We don't have to sit here and figure out how to create intimacy. You know, people are always saying, well, how do we deepen our intimacy and our connection and grow closer? I'm telling you, don't worry. worry about getting your hearts open, because open hearts just connect, you know, and that's true in life. I mean, think about when you feel safe with someone, and you're with your buddy and you're with your good friends, you just connect. I mean, you don't have to think through 8 steps and the latest 5 keys or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It just happens. And my wife and I had no clue about this. And Danny, I'm telling you, to be honest, I didn't think we were going to make it past our second wedding anniversary. We were that stuck. We were in conflict. We were miserable. I felt hopeless, and things felt helpless. And I thought we were one more argument away from her leaving. And looking back, now I understand that what we were doing in our relationship made us both feel very unsafe with each other. And so what happened? Our hearts closed, and we were totally disconnected. Apathy was setting in. That hardness was beginning to... Our hearts were fossil, you know, becoming fossilized. And luckily, we got help. Mm. You know, we went and saw a Christian counselor. Mm. We got into a small group. We met with our pastor. We had mentor. I mean, anything to figure this out. And we made it. But I'm telling you that what changed was that we learned how to be safe with each other. Wow.
Doctor, I'll tell you, the expression that you just shared with us, I mean, that just connects with my heart. It connects with all of our hearts, because you yourself needed help.
Oh,
and
gosh.
You got help.
Still need help. If she was here, she'd be happy to tell you that.
And now the Lord is using you to help others.
But I tell you, that's what I get passionate about, helping couples create a home, a marriage that feels like the safest place on earth. You can do that. I'm telling you, the rest of the stuff takes care of itself. I mean, we can teach you some communication stuff and love language stuff and to help you do that a little bit better. But I'm telling you, none of that stuff. I always tell couples, there's not a skill, a tool, a concept that I could teach you that would make a bit of difference if your hearts aren't open. Mm. It's got to start there.
Well, that's getting down to the nitty gritty, the real heart of the matter.
That's right.
Doctor, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to come to share with us from the gut level.
And, oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I
deeply, deeply appreciate you. Thank you. And Garrison, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. And you go ahead and you enjoy your snorkeling and your fishing and your time here in beautiful Hawaii. In the next few days, you're going to be hearing inspirational stories and people that will equip you and come and stand with you right where you are in your life right now. And you know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. Invite them to listen in at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Our stories are also available at thegoodlifehawaii.org. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, it always protects, that's talking about love, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Dr. Greg Smalley, his dear son, Garrison. Until next time, along with our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.